taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
What happens when a people divide themselves? I don't simply mean have different opinions, but to the point where we are actually creating subclasses of citizens. Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. And today, I want to discuss what I see as dangerous evidence of the types of divisions in this country that have not been seen for almost 200 years. Now, I'm today going to pick on one topic. There are plenty of topics. I've already talked about racism and how it's being reinstituted in America and how that is being used to divide the country. Today, I want to take a look at something else. And I want to focus around COVID. How COVID panic has been used to further divide this country and is still being used today to divide this country. So as many people are looking and seeing the case rate go down and are praying that things are getting better, what I see in this nation is a potentially dangerous divide, a schism that has been created and that it seems many people are trying to force open. And this is not simply government. This is, you know, we tend to talk about the Constitution and what government is doing, but this truly is all aspects of society. This idea, this episode came from an article that I saw, but I'm going to hold that to the end because I want to set the stage for the article I read and the thoughts that it gave me, what it brought to mind. Because while we see this every day, I don't know that we often think about this as creating these divisions. For example, I have a couple articles. One article here talks about the University of Maryland system that's going to mandate students get the viruses, students, faculty, and staff. If you want to attend the public school in Maryland, if you work at the public school in Maryland, you got to get a shot. An experimental use vaccine. I mean, this is an experiment. This is still considered an experimental drug. It is released under an experimental use authorization, and they want you to get a drug that has not been fully tested, has not been fully vetted, that has shown, in some cases, significant adverse effects. In fact, I have a friend of ours have had two people in their family that have had serious adverse effects to the vaccination. And in fact, one of them had to be helicoptered to a hospital. Thankfully, they are recovering. It does not appear that it is any longer life-threatening. But if you're talking about college-age students, their chances of dying from the virus are less than 1%. Yet the school is going to mandate they get a virus, they get a vaccine, a potentially dangerous vaccine. Now compare that with a Florida school I found. A private school in Florida told their parents, this is a while back, this is I think back in April, that they have a new policy and they are prohibiting vaccinated teachers and staff from being employed at the school. So you have the Maryland University system saying, if you want to come on campus, you have to get a vaccine. Yet here we have this private South Florida school saying, listen, if you have not been vaccinated, please wait to the end of the year. Wait until the end of the school year. Now, I'm not entirely sure the reasons why they decided that they want them to wait, but it to me, the point here, here we have a divide. We have two school systems. One that says you must be vaccinated. Another one says, no, wait. There's not enough information about the vaccine yet. Compare that to my new home state of Tennessee, where the state Senate said that colleges, universities, and universities can still mandate vaccination for the school, those in the school, while you at the same, at a similar time, you have Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi saying, no, we cannot force members to get the vaccine. We have a divide. And to me, this divide is dangerous, not simply from the medical question of do you get vaccinated or not, but what happens to a society when you view another group as other? If you're not vaccinated, you're not welcome here. Versus, well, we can't force you to be vaccinated. What happens to if you're vaccinated, you can't come here? The school in Florida said, please wait to the, you know, ask them to wait to the end of the school year. But what happens when someplace, a school or a business says, listen, if you're vaccinated, you're not allowed? Or take New York State and Governor Cuomo's announcement that they're setting up segregated baseball stadium seating. That's right. Not based on race, based on being vaccinated. Now remember, New York has already instituted a vaccine passport. So now they're going to use it and saying, listen, if you're showing up at a stadium to watch a game, you're going to be seated separately whether or not you're vaccinated. And that brings to me an interesting question. Who gets the better seats? The vaccinated or the unvaccinated? Now, I haven't seen it, but based on the work that's been done in the state, in New York State recently, I'm pretty sure that it'll be the vaccinated people that get the preferred seats, and the unvaccinated will be, well, metaphorically sent to the back of the bus. We are creating divisions among ourselves. And sooner or later, the way these divisions are being treated, it's not simply, I disagree with you. It's, I'm not going to allow you. I'm going to segregate you. And that's dangerous. Now listen, if someone has a different opinion from me on vaccines, be my guest. I do not believe you should be denied a vaccine if you want to take it. I also don't think you should be forced to take a vaccine if you don't want to take it. But how do we deal with public school systems, private school systems, public stadiums that are now going to segregate us and treat us differently based on whether or not we take an experimental shot? Now, New York State, again, they were I think they were the first state to actually come out with vaccine passports. And guess what? Now they're trying to pass legislation to curtail fake vaccine passports. That's right. Vaccination cards. You go and you get, you know, as a kid, when I was a kid, there are certain vaccines you had to have. At least these were well-tested vaccines. But in order to go to school, my mother had to bring in my vaccination card to prove that I'd had, you know, I think it was mumps and rubella and scarlet fever. Who knows? I don't remember what it was. I was really young at the time. And now we have the state going, you know what? If we're going to require vaccination, people are going to fake vaccination cards. So now we're creating an underground, a black market in fake vaccination cards, at least in New York State. It's a divide. If we're going to come up with fake vaccination cards, are we going to come up with an entire black market for unvaccinated people? Will there be stores that have, you know, vaccinated entrances and unvaccinated entrances? Or will we just have those little shops in the, you know, on the back streets going, you know, all right, you know, you don't have your card, that's okay. We'll do a backstreet, you know, deal. We'll have a black market. We'll create two separate economies, two separate societies based on vaccinated and not vaccinated. I don't know if this is supposed to be another new version of separate but equal, but the separate is dangerous. And again, I'm not saying we all have to be uniform. I'm saying we can have different ideas, but when we start dividing ourselves up, when we start identifying someone as other because of something, because they've made a choice different from the one we want, that is a recipe for disaster. That has never ended well in human history. So when we look at these, when we look at these news stories, and we see America being divided up, why? I mean, obviously my first question is, why are we being divided up? Why is this panic in place? And I think there's Michael Crichton wrote an excellent book called The State of Fear. I remember reading it many, many years ago. It wasn't about vaccines or viruses. It was actually about climate change and how governments and leaders are using fear to change policy. And if there's one thing we've seen for the last 14, 16 months, is the use of fear to establish policy. But what happens when that fear becomes separated, when it leads to separations and distinctions? What happens when fear is used to drive the separation between you and someone else? What happens when we have, for example, Dr. Fauci, claiming that even though infection numbers are at their lowest in over a year, that deaths from COVID are in their lowest for more than a year, don't settle back yet. Don't ease up. We still need to push vaccines, because until we get everybody vaccinated, we won't let you go back to normal. Now, that statement in itself is probably fodder for a whole program. The idea of being allowed to go back to normal. But we're seeing this division. And these vaccines are being pushed. For example, the White House is partnering with McDonald's to place vaccine ads on coffee cups. We want people vaccinated. The White House is partnering with a dating app. That's right. Getting a vaccine is now like getting a date on Tinder. So that you can go in and say, I'm looking at my dates. I'm going, you haven't been vaccinated yet. You get vaccinated and you get a little badge that says, ooh, you're special. You've been vaccinated. Maybe even get some special content. Making you special and everyone else other. Does anybody else getting scared of this? Does anybody else have the hairs on the back of their neck wondering when was the last time we were divided like this? I find it very interesting that on a CNN program, the host Dana Bash was pushing the CDC director, wondering why states were allowed to make up their own minds. How dare you allow the states to think for themselves? I mean, it wasn't pushed that way. She said fend for themselves when it comes to masks and other limitations. Excuse me, I thought states were free and independent. That the CDC had an advisory role. But you see, again, you're being pushed. Follow, the mandates or you're other. You're different. You are sub-citizen. And again, it's not, you know, it's not just government. You know, for example, both Alaska and Florida sued the CDC because they put out a no-sale order. They prohibited cruise ships from sailing into and out of American ports. Now, what's interesting is, according to reports, you know, the governors are complaining, we're losing tourism. And in fact, the governor DeSantis said, we don't believe the federal government has a right to mothball a major industry for over a year on very little evidence and very little data. Here's what's interesting. The CDC has no legal authority to mothball cruise ships. They have no legal authority to shut down anything. But again, we're dealing with the states now saying, listen, you've blown this. We were willing to comply for a while, but you've gone too far. Because now we're looking at saying, well, okay, you can cruise, but what are the requirements? What are the limitations? Oh, you have to have a shot. So that a certain class of people can go on cruises, can leave for cruises from America, but not the others. And in fact, major cruise ship companies have threatened Florida that they would skip Florida ports because Florida refuses to implement a vaccine passport. It's not just government. You have companies, in this case, cruise companies, saying, if you don't create a segregation system based on vaccination, if you don't give us the tools to segregate your population, we won't do business with you. Now, that's their right, and I'm quite happy to based on my understanding, that Governor DeSantis said, too bad. We will not be blackmailed into infringing on the rights of our citizens because you want it. If you want to implement some sort of vaccination policy, you deal with it. We're not going to be complicit in doing in infringing on the rights of our citizens. But what we see is a further division in this country that was started by those in government and now propagates through business and society. Propagates with companies and individuals now taking sides based on whether or not you've been vaccinated. You know, Ohio started it, and now Minnesota becomes the latest state that wants to bribe its citizens to take the vaccine. Bribe. Yes, I said that word. Bribe. They're having a lottery. And if you get vaccinated, it's like you get entered in the lottery and you can win wonderful stuff. A Great Lakes Aquarium pass or a Mall of America's Nickelodeon Universe pass. I mean, they've got all these things that you can win for taking an experimental drug. It's almost like they're offering the people payment for being a guinea pig. In this case, they're not just paying cash. That'd be too brash. No, we'll just raffle off some stuff. And from reports coming out of Ohio, the American people are more than willing to accept the bribe. They hadn't gotten the vaccination. Now though, there's a chance to win something. I'll take it now. Now, I have no problem with anyone who wants to take the vaccine. If you have an informed choice and you've decided the vaccine is the best way to go, absolutely, I have zero problem with that. I do have a problem with looking at it and saying, you know what, the vaccine is not good enough for people simply to take it. Let's entice them. I call it bribery. But again, it's bribery to create we're creating two separate societies. And this is not only inconvenient. It's not only illegal. It truly has the potential to become extremely dangerous. You see, Founding Father John Jay said that by reading and studying the Constitution, we would know when our rights are being violated. And these news articles, this information, seems to show me that we don't know when our rights are being violated. We're unaware of the attack on our rights by both governments and businesses and others in society. We don't recognize it. So we fall for it. That we are not prepared to defend and assert our rights as John Jay said we should be. So I encourage people to read and study the Constitution. There are many ways to do it. You can get the Constitution absolutely free. Go to founders.archive.org or just search archive.org and you can find free copies of the Constitution, the Declaration, other founding documents. It's great information. But it's important that we keep our liberty minds strong, that we keep them free, because this division in the country, created not simply on vaccination is one front in the dividing of the American people, and it leads to an end that I really don't think most American people want. I refer to studying the Constitution as an inoculation against bad ideas, an inoculation against the attack on our rights. And it's something we need to spend some time with. It's something we need to invest in. And if you want to have a strong mind, well, you kind of need a strong body to go with it, don't you? I mean, I don't know about you, but my mind doesn't go anywhere without my body attached. Now, I've been around a little while, and you know, my wife has me taking vitamins, and you know, I probably wouldn't if it was up to me, but she does because she wants me to be around. And it's interesting, the research, you know, they haven't really changed how vitamins are made, how they're designed to be absorbed in the body for almost 100 years. So along comes this company called Healthy Cell. And they design their vitamins, their supplements, to work at a cellular level, to do things like boost your immune system, help you sleep better, help you focus, help you be able to invest the time to not only have a strong body, but to have a strong mind. Now, if you're like most people, you really don't like the idea of taking a handful of vitamins. Well, Healthy Cell doesn't come in pills. It's these nice little packets. There's a little gel in there, and it, believe it or not, even tastes good. One thing vitamins are not known for is tasting good, but you take the Healthy Cell, you take one of the packets, you can either take it as a shooter like I do every morning, you can mix it into fruit juice or another drink, you can mix it into a smoothie, but it helps you not only get the vitamins that you need, the vitamins we no longer get from the foods we eat because they become such processed food, but help your body assimilate them and absorb them so they're most effective. And if you head to healthycell.com/outloud, you'll get 20% off your first order because you are an America Out Loud listener. So check out healthycell.com/outloud and come back and join me after this break, and we'll talk more about a divided America.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutloud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution study. We're talking about how America is being divided up, how we're being separated, segregated, and specifically today we're talking about COVID. How the COVID-19 scaredemic has been used to get the people to not only voluntarily hand over their rights, but to separate us, to segregate us, to make us others. Now, I've been talking a bit about vaccinations, and I want to transition into back to some of the mask mandates before we close out. But there's another set of interesting facts I've noticed. Is look at who has been targeted to be allowed to function during these lockdown, shutdowns, illegal quarantine orders. Interesting how churches have been shut down. Why would states like California, New Mexico, Illinois, Michigan, why would they want people to shut down? Why would they want to shut down churches? Could it be that churches represent a level of community that doesn't work in a country that wants to be divided and that people want divided and controlled? Could that be the reason why churches were deemed as quote-unquote non-essential? Of course, there's nothing in the Constitution of any state or the nation that authorizes governments to determine whether or not churches are essential or not. In fact, the First Amendment of the United States prohibits the federal government from prohibiting worship in churches, and the Bill of Rights or Declaration of Rights in most of states do exactly the same thing. But yet they were targeted as well. See, they were made to be other. You're not worthy of it. And it isn't interesting that houses of worship, and whether that be a church, a synagogue, a mosque, places where people go for community and for support, exactly what you need in a pandemic, if it were a real pandemic. By the way, I don't make that comment flippantly, because the definition of pandemic is not simply a disease that is worldwide, but that has a tremendous impact on a large percentage of the population, which, at least in the United States, which is the only place I have numbers for, not that big an impact. The numbers sound big, but that's only because they're given out of context. But again, let's talk about churches. Why shut down churches? When people are most in need of spiritual and emotional support, why do you prevent them from having it? See, we've been isolated. We've been told we must be out. We've been told to be afraid of our neighbor. Now, my church never shut its doors. My church never stopped doing what the only thing my church did when the pandemic happened is we stopped with the shaking of hands in the middle of service. And in the middle of the service, we'd get up and we'd greet each other and we'd shake hands. And we decided, nope, we were going to wave. When things started and, you know, everyone wasn't really sure how dangerous COVID, you know, the novel coronavirus was, we said, all right, let's not shake hands. Let's just wave. But even in our church, it took a long time past the point of understanding that the virus just wasn't that dangerous before we went back to shaking hands again. See, masks separate people. They segregate people. So much of communication is more visual than verbal. And that gets lost when you're behind a mask. It divides people up. And we've become a divided nation. So even things like church shutdowns, shutting down places of worship, even going so far as determining what businesses can be open, what businesses are essential, are an attempt to divide us. Imagine you're the operator of a small business and you're already having a hard enough time competing with the big box stores. And then your governor tells you that you have to close down because you're not essential, but the big box store, which sells the same stuff you do, they're allowed to remain open. See, they're preferred and you're not. Or imagine being told that the livelihood, your livelihood, the way you put food on the table, the way you pay your bills, isn't essential and is suspended. And you look at your neighbor across the street and their job is essential and they're okay, but no, you're not. Now that particular form of separation, that division, does two things. It not only divides us from the ones that government will allow to work and the ones that government won't allow to work. Let's ignore the fact that government has no legal authority to tell you you cannot work. It's actually a federal crime to do that, but that's, again, separate and then make dependent. Separating people from each other, separating them from their method of support, separating them from their emotional, spiritual, and financial support, where do people turn? Some people turn to government and say, you must provide for me because you've shut down my job, and I will sell you my liberty for a stimulus check. This is way beyond simply trying to deal with a medical issue. This has gone way beyond science and medicine. This is about dividing people up and controlling them. This is divide and conquer. And if you think it's not, if you think, well, no, Paul, you're exaggerating over, well, I want to refer you to our listeners in Oregon. See, as of May 19th, the Oregon Health Authority has required businesses, employers, and religious institutions to enforce a mask mandate for anyone who has not received their vaccination. Oh, you want to get out from wearing the mask, all you got to do is take the shot, the experimental shot, the shot with, you know, where over 4,000 people have died from it, the shot with, you know, thousands of people who have had sometimes serious adverse reactions. Yep, All you got to do, if you want to live free, if you want to get away from that mask, is submit yourself to an experimental shot. And if you run a business, or if you have a house of worship, a faith institution, what happens next is you have to ask for papers. If someone shows up without a mask, you have to ask for their papers. It is a trope of almost every movie involving Nazis, or in some cases, Stalinist Russia, the requirement to show your papers. You have to have proof that you have been vaccinated, or you have to walk around with a mask, which does squat to deal with a vaccine. But we have businesses, either through ignorance or cowardice, that are capitulating. I repeat, there is not a constitution I am aware of that grants government the authority to tell you who can and cannot do business with you. Who or how someone may come to worship or work at your establishment. This is a deprivation of property under color of law. If you have a business, control that business is your property. If you are an employer, the ability to employ, the ability to hire workers is your property. If you are a faith-based institution, that operation is your property. To deny that under the guise of some law is a federal crime, 18 U.S.C. 242. But you see, because we don't read and say the Constitution, we don't recognize when our rights are being violated, businesses, employers, and churches in Oregon are allowing themselves to become complicit with the illegal actions of the state and with the further division of this country. Show up at the door, show me your papers. If you got papers, you can come in. If not, you got to put on a mask. Those masks are becoming the symbol of tyranny in America. The further symbol of division. Of those who won't comply with the government edict that you take an experimental drug or else. What happens when the American people get tired of being treated as second-class citizens, of having to cover their face, of having to sit in separate but not equal venues because they refuse to take an experimental drug? What happens? Well, in Oregon, a group has filed a lawsuit. Okay. A group, they're threatening to sue the governor for moving forward with the vaccine passport and requiring proof of vaccination for people in to enter businesses or other locations without a mask. My answer is simply ignore it. As Alexander Hamilton said in Federalist Papers number 78, there is no position which depends on clearer principle than that every act of a delegated authority contrary to the tenor of the commission under which it is exercised is void. That means that since the Constitution that created the government of Oregon did not authorize the governor to tell businesses who they can and cannot allow into to do business with them, to deny people the ability to worship except under conditions established by the state, since that is not the tenor of the commission, her actions are void. Oh, Alexander Hamilton, not good enough. How about this? from the Chief Justice Marshall in the Marbury versus Madison case. Thus, the particular phraseology of the Constitution of the United States confirms and strengthens the principle, supposed to be essential to all written constitutions, that a law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that all courts, as well as other departments, are bound by that instrument. Even the Supreme Court says, if it's a violation of the Constitution, it's void. But again, we have separation of the other, then suppression of the other. And our history shows what happens when you create separation and suppression of a group. Now, the good news is, there are a few, right now a small few, but there are a few that are standing up and saying, you know what, no, we're not going to bow down, we're not going to give up our rights simply to get along, we're going to look at the facts and we're going to deal with them. Now, interesting enough, the transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg, basically admitted that masks are show. They're about respect, not science. So anybody that's forcing you to wear a mask to protect yourself or others is playing make-believe. They don't work. A mask is a million times, the holes in a mask are a million times the size of a virus. Therefore, anything that you sneeze, you cough, guess what? The droplets may be smaller, but the virus is still getting out. Masks are not a medical solution to the problem. They are a political means to an end. The end, separate, segregate, and then demonize and suppress. Now, as I said, there are a few places that are showing what's going on. I often equate what governments do to the emperor who had no clothes. The Oregon governor has no legal authority to make a business require a mask, but since nobody knows that she's that politically, legally, that has no force, that's void, we go along with it. Just like, the emperor that had no clothes. Everyone was afraid to tell the emperor, you're naked. You've been told that if you don't see it the way he wants you to see it, then you're just not with it. Kind of like being told that if you don't follow the mask mandates, you're not with it. You're out to kill grandma or something like that. And there's more and more evidence that that was all show and no science. So the first step in doing this is pointing out the hypocrisy and the tyranny of these mandates, of these illegal orders, of this desire to separate the American people. Why? Why is that so important? Because the last time people were separated, segregated, and then subjugated was in the early 1800s into the 1860s. A people felt their rights were being violated. Now, the fact that they were violating the rights of others is a whole other question, but a group of states were told, no, you are not allowed to have slaves. You will be separate. We are not going to treat you the same. And they separated, and we fought a war. Now, yes, the war was about states' rights and the rights of states to have slaves, but it started by creating a division in the country and allowing that division to grow and fester into a hatred that led to violence. When the Constitution was signed in 1787, it included a provision that said that basically meant the importing of slaves could not be banned for 20 years. That slave-owning states could not use their slaves to take over Congress. And the stage was set to slowly eliminate slavery in this country. But a group of politicians didn't like that. They fomented not only the reimposition of slave laws, the opinion of Dred Scott saying that slaves were property, and they wished to suppress them. And the animosity between the two groups rose to the point where the state said, we can no longer be part of this union because we want our way. Now, I don't think we're going to have a North-South Civil War. But what I do see is I see the same separation, division, vilification, and hatred building between urban areas and rural areas, between the coasts and the heartland, between the Rust Belt and the Bible Belt. The hatred between donkey and elephant. The animosity is growing. So sharp, so pointed. The desire for revenge is so strong. How long before it is no longer a question of, I disagree with you, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. But I must enforce my will on others, because it's happening now. How much longer will the suppression of different ideas be allowed in this country? How long until those who would force their will on others, who would demand they act the way we want them to act, is no longer tolerated, where they are the ones that are ignored? And it starts with pointing out the truth of the lie that we're being told. I saw this article, it made me chuckle. A cafe in Northern California is adding a $5 fee for customers who are wearing masks or bragging about their COVID vaccine. I love it. I hope they put it right on the bill. You come in here with a mask, okay, that's $5. Why? Because we don't support tyranny in this cafe. I guess it's Fiddlehead Cafe in Mendocino. They have a sign in the window. $5 fee if you're masked, an additional $5 fee if you're caught bragging about being vaccinated. Point out the hypocrisy. But the article that really got me started about this came from Middle Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee. See, a hat store, and you got to understand, if you're not from Nashville, hat stores and boot stores are part of the scene, right? You got the country music scene, so hat stores and boot stores are common. So there's this hat store in Nashville called Hatworks, and they sell hats and they take care of hats and all that stuff, and they started selling yellow patches in the shape of the Star of David with the words not vaccinated across it. I've said this before. We are getting to the point where this is not quite that outrageous. To me, this points out, this is a way of saying, listen, you are making me subhuman by not taking the vaccine. Now, when I first saw the headline, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Let's show off the idea. And of course, they're referred to as anti-vax. Whether or not you're pro-vax, anti-vax, the question is, maybe you're just not willing to take an experimental vaccine. Maybe your health situation means that's not a good idea for you. No. They're referred to as anti-vax. So what happened when this store started selling? Again, not forcing, not mandating, selling. If you want to buy this patch, you could buy that patch. Well, two hat companies, Stetson and Gorin Brothers, prominent hat companies, will no longer do business with Hatworks. Quoting from the company statement, Stetson condemns anti-Semitism and discrimination of any kind. As a result of the offensive content and opinions shared by Hatworks in Nashville, Stetson and our distribution partners will cease the sale of all Stetson products. Well, here's what's interesting. This is not anti-Semitic. It didn't say Jew on it. I could see it is quite a in-your-face statement. And I can even see the position of families who have had people or families of those who suffered during the Holocaust, who suffered in the concentration camps, who were forced to wear those, having a reaction to them. That is not anti-Semitic. That is not discrimination. If anything, it is pointing out the discrimination that is being imposed on those who do not wish to be vaccinated. The owner of Gorham Brothers posted on Instagram, due to the recent offensive content shared by Hatworks in Nashville, Gorham Brothers has ended their distribution with this business effective immediately. Now, whether or not Gorham Brothers and Stetson have the legal authority, they can legally decide we don't like that, we don't want to sell them. They're legally allowed to. But what we see here is someone standing up and saying, this is becoming a discriminatory act. This is becoming the separation, the creation of an other. A warning to the American people of what is coming, looking at history and saying, is this really that different, other than the fact that instead of being a religion, it's an opinion based on a vaccine? Ben Gorin went on to say, the Jewish badge was a key element used by Nazis beginning in 1939, who planned to persecute and eventually murder millions of Jews. Well, isn't that the point, Mr. Gorin? It was an element used by the Nazis to persecute before they murdered the Jews. Isn't that the point Hatworks is making? That there are people who see them as a part of, that see the vaccines and the masks as part of a plan to be persecuted. Will they be murdered? I don't know. I can't see the future. But we're already seeing people being separated and denied their rights because of their unwillingness to be experimented on. Now, Mr. Gorin went on and said, to make a mockery of the Holocaust in any form is unacceptable and completely insensitive. I don't see it as a mockery. This isn't a caricature of Jews being sent to the gas chamber. This is an identification saying this has been done before. People have been segregated, identified, and persecuted. So I could understand, I certainly could see people who might be offended, especially, as I said, those who either lived through the Holocaust or have family members that did and would not want to wear that patch. But what about the people that look at that and say, you know what? This is looking an awful lot like 1939. Where people are being separated, segregated, identified, vilified, eventually persecuted, and if not murdered, possibly interned. We've done that in America before. See, it's important that the American people know that we know our rights, that we recognize that we don't have to agree with everybody, but we should not be vilifying a difference of opinion. that I do not have the right to enforce my will on someone else, whether that be a mask, a vaccine, or a workplace environment. And that's why this summer I'm going around the country, calling my Knowing Your Rights tour, and I'm teaching people about their rights and how they can defend and assert them properly. Give them tools to help. First, give them a basic toolkit of what they can do, and then help encourage them to read and study and increase that toolkit. Now, if you want to find out more, go to constitutionstudy.com/tour, T-O-U-R. There's a description of what I'm doing here. There's also all of my stops are listed there. So if you can find out, am I coming to a location near you? Maybe you want to come and join. I'm teaching a couple of other classes there. I'm doing a Constitution primer for some homeschool groups. I've got a couple of other sessions that people have asked me to do. But check the schedule. If I'm coming anywhere near you and you'd like to show up, it's please find out more. There's more information there. If I'm not coming to a location near you and you would like me to, or if I'm traveling through that area because I'm going to be driving to all these places and you'd like me to stop and do an event in your town with your group, with your family, there's a form right on the bottom where you can check that out and ask. And we'll see if we can. I just had someone yesterday contact me saying they want me to come to their event, to their location, and we're working to make that happen. So this tour is all about informing the American people, letting them know that they are not subjects to government. They are free and sovereign citizens with rights and with duties. And again, find out more at constitutionstudy.com/tour. And please, please check out all the other programs on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. We also play in the iHeartRadio Network. Listen on our media player from a web browser anywhere in the world. Check out our best-in-class apps on Apple, Android, and Alexa. We stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can hear the podcast on those apps if you can't listen live. So check that out, and then come back here next time for the Constitution Study.
Maybe you'll stay out of jail.